Good morning. Mitchell, once he learned how to play everything, had to start playing two things at one time. Really kind of aggravates me a little bit. You got your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 23. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. 525. We'll read a familiar story this morning. I've told this story probably hundreds of times, probably several times at this church. But I want to hear it again, so I'm going to tell it again. And I can't talk about this topic without this story. It always brings me back to this story. But when Mitchell, who's playing the harmonica and the keyboard and the drums, when he was just a little bitty fella, I was giving him a bath one night. He was playing along there in the tub, and I was just sitting watching. He played along there for a while, and he couldn't say his S's. Had a problem with his S's. And so he played for a little while, and then finally he said, "Daddy, I need some hope." Now what he was saying was, "I need some soap." But he looked up at me in the big old eyes, that enormous head that he had, and he said, "Daddy, I need some hope." And right there, in the floor of my bathroom in Ashland, Kentucky, some 800 miles away, God spoke to me right then. And he said, "How many people have you seen today that looked you in the eyes and said, 'I need some hope'?" And I began to see faces. And I began to cry about all those that I saw that had no hope. Mitchell looked at me and he saw me crying and he acted like, "That's okay, I don't need any soap." This world is longing for hope. I'm going to speak on this morning, hope. There are several scriptures in the Bible, several different directions we could go with this. The psalmist said, "Be strong, let your heart be courageous, and all who put your hope in the Lord. Now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. But I will hope continually, and I will praise you more and more." The book of Lamentations says, "The Lord is my portion, therefore will I put my hope in him." Peter said, "Because of his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Paul said, "In the hope of eternal life, that God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." Paul also said, "While we wait for that blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." He also said, "Since then, we have such a hope that we act with great boldness." This world needs hope. I want to tell a story this morning that the Bible tells of someone that needed hope. Book of Mark, chapter 5, starting in verse 25. It says, "Now a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. And having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothing. For she said, 'If I just touch his clothes, I will be made well.' And instantly the flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was healed from her affliction. And at once Jesus realized in himself that power had gone from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said, 'You see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, 'Who touched my clothes?' But he was looking around, and he saw who had done this. The woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And Jesus answered, 'Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your afflictions.'" I'm sure you've heard this story before. I've preached this same story several times, different aspects of it. But I want to break it down and look at this woman and what she needed. Look at her situation. Verse 25 says, now a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years. 12 years. I hardly ever get sick. Hardly ever. But when I do, I am a horrible big baby. Lord would rather have all the kids be sick all at one time than for me to be sick. And she was sick for 12 years. If I'm sick for more than 3 days, I'm praying, Lord, take me home. I'm done. I'm never going to get over this. And you get to a certain age, and I joke with the kids, when something starts hurting now, I just assume it's just going to hurt forever. My elbow's hurting. Well, it's probably going to hurt forever. 12 years is the situation she was in. 12 years. Imagine the hopelessness of 12 years and nothing has changed. Verse 26 says, she had endured much under many doctors. She had endured much under many doctors. So she put her hope in medicine. She had endured much. What do you think that means? You ever had some kind of ailment and have somebody give you ways to get rid of it? I mean, it could be huge, it could be very small. Hiccups. You could have somebody that say, if you get the hiccups, there's at least three people in every crowd that's going to say, I know how to get rid of those. Whether it's drink something backwards, whether it's drink pickle juice. I remember when the kids were small and they would get hiccups and they'd come to me, and I think I remember doing this to Emma. She said, Daddy, I got the hiccups. I said, you do? She said, yeah. I said, arr! And she throws her juice everywhere, just scares her to death. And she stopped from it. I said, see, it worked. She said, it did. Diet. You mention a diet to somebody, and they will tell you 500 different ways to lose weight. I am a professional dieter. And by that, I mean I start a new one every Monday morning. I know all of the facts, all the new, and they change constantly. Yesterday, eggs was bad for you, it's going to kill you. Tomorrow, eggs is good, the protein is good, you need to eat more eggs. Sugar is bad, sugar is good, fat is bad, fat is good. Everybody has an opinion on that. Arthritis is another big one. There's always somebody that has some kind of cure for arthritis. My grandfather, he always had a problem with his knee. He had bad knees. And I remember, he was just a little bitty fellow. And I remember he'd sit in the swing down by the pond, and his feet wouldn't touch the ground. And he'd just sit there, just content as he could be. He'd sit there. So I seen him sitting there one day, and I walked up beside him. I sat down. He said, all right, now you can push us. So I went to pushing us. And I said, Grandpa, how's your knee? He said, it's still bad. He said, I'm trying a new medicine. I said, what's that? He said, moonshine. I said, moonshine? He said, yeah. He said, you're supposed to rub it on there. He said, I'm to the point where I try just about anything. He said, you're supposed to rub it on or wrap it up or something. And he said, if that don't work, he looked around. He said, I'll just sip a little bit. And just laughed. She had done everything. She had taken everyone's advice. So she had endured much under many doctors. And this was a long time ago when they didn't have the medical advancements that we have now, not even close. So you can imagine all the different things that all the different physicians had gotten her to try. She tried it all. And this world is looking for something. And they turn a lot of times to medicine. Now, I'm not saying medicine's not good. I'm not saying going to the doctor is not good. I'm not condemning doctors at all. If I sneeze more than 3 times in a week, I'm going to go see the doctor. But the doctor is not where my hope essentially is. And she had tried all these things. I see stars now. I guess I just pay more attention to it, but they've been doing it for years. But once they start getting a little older, they have plastic surgery done. And the hip thing to do now apparently is to just have the doctor grab your ears and pull your face back as far as you possibly can and staple it. I saw an actor on TV the other day in a commercial, and I loved this guy. Great, one of my favorite actors. I've loved everything he's ever been in. He looked like a plastic doll of himself. He was so stretched out. I said, if he sneezes, his face will explode. She put all of her hope in medicine. She tried it all, and medicine wasn't the answer. Look at the second half of that verse. It says she endured much things and many doctors. She had spent everything that she had and was not helped. On the contrary, she became worse. She put her hope in money. She had spent everything she possibly could to get rid of this disease. Possessions do not hold any hope. There are no hope in the possessions you have. And people scrounge to get as many things as they can, and things are not bad. Essentially, getting more things is not the problem. It's when you put your faith and your hope in those things that you get. If you try and fill a void with those things. Possessions, worldly possessions, is not anything I place my hope on. I have a car that I drive back and forth to work, and we lovingly call it the Silver Streak. And it's a little silver sports car. That poor thing has been through. And I tell the kids that the paint is peeling off the hood. I said it's because it goes so fast. The paint won't stick to it. It only has one windshield wiper that works. One windshield wiper. Mitchell just looked at me like, what in the world did you just say? One wiper works. Luckily, it's the driver's side. I was going home from work one day, pouring rain, and the passenger side wiper just decided I'm not going to work no more. And it didn't. And it hasn't since. Every door handle on that car has been broken at one time or another. I have crawled through the window. I have got in from the passenger seat. And I'm talking about this just a little, it's comical. So believe me, there are no hopes. The only hope I have in that car is I hope it gets me to work. There are no hope in possessions. And this world spends on a daily basis all that it has searching for some kind of hope. Maybe if I buy this next thing, it'll give me some hope. And the world is desperately, and you can see it in their eyes, they're desperately searching for something. This woman was desperately searching for something, and she didn't find it in medicine. She didn't find it in money. But I want you to see where she found it. Look at verse 27. Having heard about Jesus. I could stop right there. Having heard about Jesus. The Bible says she had tried everything. She'd spent all her money. There was no hope in medicine. There was no hope in possessions. And then she heard about Jesus. That is what this world needs. This world needs to hear about Jesus, about the hope in Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing but Jesus and Him crucified. That's what this world needs to hear. And she heard about Jesus. Now, if it had ended there, if the story had stopped there, her situation would have never changed. She tried everything. She'd lost everything. She heard about Jesus. But the important thing is what she did after she heard about Jesus. The difference comes in the second part of that verse. Having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. For she said, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. Can you hear? Now read that verse again in your mind. Can you hear the hope in her voice? I've heard about this man named Jesus, all the great things that he can do, all the great things that he has done. And if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She finally found a hope that she could hold on to. And the Bible says she pushed through the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole. The blood, the issue of blood she had for 12 years dried up instantly. She knew within herself that the disease had been taken away. So we look at what she did. She heard about Jesus, and she pushed through the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. what I've never looked at before until this morning is look at Jesus' response. Because he said, "Who touched me?" He knew that power had come out of his body. He knew that somebody had been healed. He said, "Who touched me?" The crowds were pressing. The disciples got a little smart with him. "What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's here. Everybody's shoving us. They've got us hemmed up in a corner." He finally sees the woman. She comes forth. She tells him everything that had happened. Look at Jesus' response. Because he could have said, "Why didn't you come to me first?" He could have said, "Why did you wait for medicine to fail? Why did you wait for the money to run out? Why come running to me now?" That could have been his response. And I believe the world sometimes expects that response from Jesus. They think, well, if I get, because I've heard people tell me this, "I don't want to wait until just things go wrong and then come running to Jesus." They said, "I can't stand it when somebody, something happens in their life and then they go running to church," because the world expects Jesus to respond that way. And the reason they do is because I'm afraid they see the children of God respond that way. They've heard somebody say, "Oh, yeah, now you come running to God. You didn't want God last week when life was going fine, but now that life is a mess, now you come running to God." And I'm afraid, God help us, sometimes that's the response that we give the world, and that's what the world expects from Jesus. But look at his response. She come down, she got down at his feet. She told him the whole truth. Verse 34, Jesus says, "Daughter." Daughter. Think about that. She had tried everything else. Jesus was her last resort. And yet when she comes down and she bows down at his feet, he says, "Daughter." He goes on to tell her, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." I know how that feels. Because when I got saved, I didn't deserve the response that I got. But when I said, "God, please forgive me and save me," his response was, "Son, thy faith has saved thee." Let me ask you this. Where is your hope this morning? What is your hope in this morning? When the entire world comes crashing in, when the world seems like there is no hope, where is your hope placed? When everything is going right, when everything is going good, when you're on top of the mountain, who do you run to? That tells me where your hope is. My hope is in Jesus. Amen. The one that gave his very life for me. The one that died on the cross to save my lost soul. The one that rose from the grave. The one that went back to heaven and said, "I'll be back. Don't worry, I'm coming back. I go to prepare a place, and where I go to prepare a place, I will come again to receive you unto my own." My hope is in the one that said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Take my burden. Put your burden upon me. And I will walk with you." My hope is in Jesus. Where is your hope this morning? What hope do you have? What are you holding on to? There is no greater hope than Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you do not know him, you do not have that hope, then if I walk out that door and I leave this world before I ever make it back to church tonight, I know exactly where I'll be. That's where my hope is. The Lord comes to do this song, and one of my favorite songs, and this is where your hope is. And if you don't have any hope this morning, if you walked in this morning and your hope might have been in possessions, it might have been in medicine, it might have been in what the world can offer you, a position that you have at work, whatever your hope may be, if it's not Jesus Christ, you have an empty hope. So as she plays, as she sings, if you need to pray, if you need that hope, if you need to be reminded of that hope, or if you just want to thank God that He has given you that hope, the altars are open.
Cheers.